Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to pick up here in verse number 31 and read here to the end of the chapter. And just want to pick something from here and just consider, namely a word. And maybe over the course of the coming messages, we might consider the fuller reach of this word that is here in the Scriptures. The Lord in these chapters have been going through end time events and back into chapter 24 and then giving aspects of the kingdom. That's the way I like to see it, refer to it and understand it. Here in chapter 25, aspects of the kingdom of God. There's no one parable reference that would tell us everything about the Lord's kingdom. But he explains and instructs us about facets of it. We see here in verse number 31 that the Lord says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, okay, and so that's a future time, and all the holy angels with him, and I trust maybe you're thinking about Revelation chapter 19. It tells us more about that. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Verse 39, or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, so this is Jesus speaking, he's speaking about a future time, a thing that hasn't happened yet, but he says, and it started off here, the Son of Man, he's speaking about himself. He says in verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? When did that happen? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, and in the previous verses he said, my brethren, and that's good for us to hang on to, okay? Inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. That's one of the words that we want to hang on to and consider this morning. Everlasting. Everlasting. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Eternal. Want to hang on to that word too. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning, and we thank you for your blessings, and Lord, that you have promised to help. And we pray, Father, that you would just bless with your good word this morning. Lord, open it up unto us, and Lord, help us to feed from it and worship you in it, and be fed by you and instructed as your people. Father, build us up and strengthen us and help us. We need you every moment, and we thank you that we can come to you in prayer and that you do have the power to help us. and that you love us so. We thank you for Jesus and his shed blood and power to save, his gospel and his salvation. Lord, we praise your name for saving us and making us your own. We pray for those that are here this morning and not saved, Lord, that they might, you might open their hearts and their eyes and their ears to see the import and the greatness of this word, eternal and everlasting. We pray, Father, that you would convict and save as you only can and just work in our midst. Thank you for each one that's come this morning, Father, and we thank you for the way you've blessed us already and pray that you might continue to bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Everlasting and eternal, both words mentioned in this verse. In the Greek, it's one word. These are synonyms, one for the same. This word everlasting, it means perpetual, forever, eternal, everlasting, forever. Comes from a word that talks about an age or an extension, perpetuity. And we use that word perpetuity in the describing about the Lord's church and the way that the Lord's worked in his church. The word that it comes from also can talk about the world or the age or the course of things in the beginning and such as that. Those words come from, and these words are all associated one with another. They come yet from another word. It's interesting how words are connected and come together. But it comes from a Greek word. Have you ever heard the word "a"? And I'm not talking about what Canadians say, okay? But we sing some songs that says that they say for "a." It means ever. It means ever. Always, everlasting and eternal. Our Lord tells about here the Son of Man, and when he's going to sit on the King in his glory, and some would go to this passage and they would think that there's just going to be one judgment. And the thing is, if it weren't for other passages in the Scripture, we would think the same. And that's not what the Lord is talking about here, because we know that the things that the Lord's talked about here, the righteous entering into the kingdom that's been prepared for them from everlasting before the foundation of the world. We see that. Brother Mark taught about that, the new heaven, the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness and no sin and no wickedness. We understand about how it's going to be from the scriptures that tell us about the great white throne judgment. And that's going to be when this whole world, earth, as I understand it, is going to be consumed. And the Lord has devoured all things and destroyed all things with fire. And then those that are without Christ, those that are damned, are judged out of things written in the books and the book of life and such as that. And so we know that what's being spoke about in this passage could well span years. It's spanning a time of years. But the import and the reason we have this passage is to consider that you are going somewhere when this life is over. You are going somewhere. Each and every one of us is going somewhere when this life is over. And understand, there's only two places, with the Lord or without the Lord. That's the way that it is, with the Lord or without the Lord. The Lord mentions something in this, and he talks about giving him drink and visiting him and a stranger taking him in and naked and clothing him and different things like that. And the righteous will answer, say, well, when do we do that to you, Lord? We would say that because we've never physically seen our Lord. And he said, well, if you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Yeah, there's that connection there, isn't there? The Lord is in the brethren, and the brethren are in him, so to speak. I mean, we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And Brother Doug brought that out. The Spirit of God lives within. And our Lord really takes that serious, and we want to hang on to that thought. These others that are to those on the left hand. You know, he talks about dividing to the right and to the left, and it's a figurative kind of thing. It won't be a time, I don't understand from the other scriptures, that there'll be a time that it'll be just like that, the Lord separating. But he's conveying a point that you stand somewhere. Do you stand on the right with the Lord's people, or do you stand on the left with not the Lord's people? It was Satan's people, really. Where do you stand? They say, when the Lord tells them that whole thing, and that he told that the righteous, but he said, you didn't do so. He said, verse 45, verily, or I'm sorry, then she had verse 44, they say also unto him, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst? You know, where did we miss it? So, well, you didn't do it to my brethren. And we see here this about, there is an element here of treatment of people, isn't there? The righteous did so. They helped. The unrighteous did not. They did not, especially did not do so to the Lord's people. A lot here, we can't cover it all, but we want to point out those points. And our main focus is to consider about these words here in verse 46. Everlasting and eternal. In Luke chapter 10, there have been those that have asked, and men have desired to live eternally. I was thinking about, there's a Spaniard, right? Wasn't there a Spaniard that was looking for the fountain of youth? Was it Cortez was looking for the fountain of youth? Ponce de Leon, okay. And I was thinking of Ponce de Leon, I was thinking of Cortez, down in Puerto Rico when we lived there when I was a kid. There was things that was named after Ponce de Leon. Yeah, look for the fountain of youth. Always looking to live longer. We live in a day where people are having plastic surgery all over the place and really make themselves look like freaks. Trying to be young. Just trying to be young. And, you know, don't do that. You don't need that. Just be what the Lord made you to be and that. But people have always wanted to know and try to find a way to live forever or to be young. And in Luke chapter 10, we pick it up in verse 25, and we see here a certain lawyer. We want to take a look at two cases here in the book of Luke and keep that passage that we read in Matthew in your mind. But he said, it says here in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, Luke 10, 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. And that's important to remember, tempted him. That word tempted is talking about testing our Lord. He wants to test him, wants to put him to the test. And of course, these birds, they're looking to tangle up the Lord in his speech. They're looking to have occasion against our Lord. They're trying to find something that they can accuse him of and all that. This man comes the same way, if we understand it right. Is he sincere? Is he genuine? And he's got an ulterior motive. He really doesn't care about self. But he's just looking to test the Lord, put him to the test, oppose something to him. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? How readest thou? And the Lord knows he's a lawyer. He said, what's it say in the law? How do you read it? You're a lawyer. He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And we know that's the first commandment. Jesus even said so. We know in the New Testament script, in the Gospels, that he quoted that. And he said unto him, in this last part, and thy neighbor as thyself. So he knew it. He knew it. Tell me about how I can inherit eternal life. And again, there's that word eternal again. Forever, always, without end. He says, love the Lord with everything. That's what the scriptures say. That's how I read it. And love my neighbor as myself. Or as he reads it, thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, verse 28. This do, and thou shalt live. Do you believe that? Oh, well, Brother Jim, we know that the Scripture says other things. Well, does it? Do you believe that, that if one will do those things, they'll live? I do. You know why I do? Because Jesus said. See, if you and I really love the Lord, not talking about love with our mouth, but if we really love the Lord tells us plainly that we're going to be very much interested in be hanging on every word of His. Every word. Every word where He tells us the truth about ourselves and our sin and our fall. Every word that He tells us about our depravity and our wicked way and how we all like sheep have gone astray. We say, no, but not me, not as bad as some. No, me. If we really love our Lord, we're going to believe everything that He says about Himself. That He is holy and true and must deal with sin and is just and righteous and pure and holy in every way. And that He says that He sent His Son to be a Savior for sinners like you and me. We won't buck against it and won't deny it, but we'll say, if we really love our Lord and our God and our King, we'll say, yes, that's right, Lord, that's me. That's me. But there's this thing, and thy neighbor as thyself. Remember that passage that we read in Matthew? What did the Lord say? The Lord said, if you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. See, those who are saved want others to be saved. Those who are have been helped want to help others. Those who have been loved look to love others. Is that not what our Savior has done? It goes on to say here, He says, thou hast right, answered right, this do and thou shalt live. See, in the Old Testament Scriptures, you know, you and I, we have the complete and fulfillment, of full message and word of the gospel. The pinnacle and climax of that is the Lord's love shown by Jesus coming and dying on the cross of Calvary, being buried and raised from the dead 3 days and three nights later. That's the pinnacle of it. But you know what the gospel was at the beginning? Hear the Lord and obey Him and love Him and follow Him with all of your heart. Everything there is, body, soul, and mind. But what is it that we want to do? We've gone our own way. We do our own thing. We come up with our own religion. Brother Doug mentioned about idols that men can control and men make, and they want to drag down God to liken to Him like a stock or a piece of rock or a piece of gold. See, men really don't love God that want to make Him into something that He's not. And they don't hear and believe Him and trust Him in His Word, do they? Thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. Listen, verse 29, we really see about the motive of this fellow, this lawyer. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? I can't find him. He's looking to justify himself. He said, I can't find my neighbor to love him like I love myself. Who is he? Who is he? And our Lord in His great wisdom, listen to what He answers. And Jesus answering said, a certain man, how did this start off? A certain lawyer. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And Jericho is over towards the east from Jerusalem, around the Mount of Olives and over there towards Jordan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I can't bother myself with helping that man. I might get dirty. Never gave any thought about if he found himself in the ditch, if he would want help. Too righteous to put forth his hand and defile it with maybe a bloody man that had been beaten up, a man that was half dead. Might get involved with something that would just cost him too much time, too much effort, too much money. You think about walking by a ditch where you see a man half dead. Was he over there moaning and groaning? Pretty cold to keep on walking, wasn't it? But he did. He kept on going. Kept on going. And likewise, a Levite. We see here, there before it was a priest, and that was if he was a priest, he was a Levite, wasn't he? And now we've got a Levite here. Maybe he wasn't a priest, but likewise a Levite. When he was at the place, verse 32, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. The other fellow saw him. This fellow stopped for a little while. And he looked at him. He kind of weighed things. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. That is pretty cold, too, wasn't it? Man's laying over there. No doubt you could see the blood, maybe, where he'd been beaten up. He's over there moaning. Maybe he's knocked out. He's not making a sound. It's not even worth the investigation to find out if he's alive or not. And he goes on. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now this man's of Samaria. He's a half-breed Jew. He's half Jew and half Gentile. The whole region of Samaria has been mixed up centuries ago because of what the king of Assyria did there by bringing in pagans. And the Jews that were there mingled with those pagans, and it tells us in the Old Testament scriptures that they got so messed up about worshiping the Lord and such as that, that they're just, their plight is just really, really sad. But you know what? As we saw this morning, the Lord went to Samaria, and he told that woman at the well, the woman at the well at Sychar, the truth, didn't he? And he came even to save those Samaritans. This is a man that would be despised by this lawyer. That's the reason we make mention of that. He's a man despised himself. He's a man that would not be received himself by the Jews, those down in Judea. But this certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, listen, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him just like he's had compassion. The Lord's had compassion on us. Had compassion. Our Lord is full of compassion. And he's been pleased to save sinners like you and me. And you know what? He's going to save other sinners. And praise his name for it. He had compassion on him. He stopped and looked and considered. And you know what? He went into action. He said he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him. And not only did he look and consider his condition, but bound up his wounds. He poured in the state-of-the-art medicine. Do you think that oil was free? Do you think that wine was free? No, it cost him. He had to be inconvenienced. He had to maybe get the outpouring of that man's wounds on him. He had to take some of what he had and use it to bind the man up to help him that he might heal and set him on his own beast. He denied himself. so he might help this man, and brought him to an inn and invested more time and took care of him. Isn't that what our Lord has done for us? It cost our Lord to save sinners. It took some time for our Lord to save sinners. It took 33 years for our Lord to get just right to offer himself a sacrifice on Calvary for sinners like you and me. Did this man love? Did this man do to the other what he would wanted done to him? Did he love his neighbor as himself? He sure did. He sure did. You ask the priest and the Levite, if you got beat up and thrown in the ditch, would you want somebody to stop by, spend some time and effort and inconvenience on and money on you to help you? He'd say, yep. But he didn't do it himself. And on the morrow, verse 35, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. So even yet some more money. And he and the one that owned the inn there, he said, you take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Even if it costs more than what I'm giving you, I'll be back, and I'll pay. The Lord asked the lawyer, now, verse 36, now of these three, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Now this whole thing started, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, love the Lord with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. You know what I see in this? No one can love their neighbor as their self unless indeed they do love their Lord the way that he is due to be loved. Now on these three, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, the Samaritan. No, he wouldn't even say the Samaritan. He that showed mercy on him. Compassionate and merciful. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. This man came wanting to put the Lord to the test. And you know what happened here? The Lord put him to the test. We come over to Luke chapter 18. We've got another man here, but this man's attitude is different. Eternal life. These are the words of Jesus. And I don't believe that none of it's in code and nothing is underlying. That lawyer came and it's not hidden. It's very plain. That man came with a motive and looked to put the Lord to the test, and the Lord put him to the test, but gave him what he needed. But this man, I think he comes really desirous. He's not concerned about doing anything to the Lord or for the sake of any of the religious leadership of the day there or anything. But he comes wanting to truly know. He knows within himself, I believe, that he is lacking. And he's looking for it. Here's a man that's trying and struggling. He's seeking after God. And he wants to know the answer. He wants to know the truth. He wants to have peace with God. But he knows he doesn't have it. And so it says in verse number 18 of Luke 18, and a certain ruler, we saw a certain lawyer and a certain Samaritan, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You remember over here with the lawyer, his address to the Lord was Master, as in Rabbi. This man knows that the Lord's good. He knows that there's virtue in him. He knows that there's help in him. He knows that there's truth in him. I believe he knows so, or he wouldn't have come to him. He's saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." Isn't it interesting that the Lord would say that? But he noted that the man called him good. He tells him, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. You know the commandments." And he said, he chimed up, "All these have I kept from my youth up. I'm obeying the commandments in every way." And indeed, we know that he can't. But as far as trying to fulfill them and do them, he was trying. I believe he's sincere in it. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, I want to read for you what it says in Mark chapter 10, verse number 21. And this really touches me in regards to this man. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 21, in this same point that we're here in Luke 18, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus, beholding him, he looked at him. And that word love there is agape love. It's not just a thing of friendship. He loved him. Again, we see another point of compassion, don't we? Our Lord is compassionate. He's compassionate to us in the terrible state that we are in naturally. He's compassionate to us in our great need. He is eternal, and he's eternally good. And indeed, he pities sinners that in and of ourselves we're not. And it's hard for us to get a handle on this thing of eternal and everlasting. You know, we all have a starting time and a starting point. And as the brother mentioned this morning, our souls have been created eternal. And it's really hard for us to get that unless we get it from the Lord and his word, or where all men will get it and really understand it is when they pass on from this life. Then all men will understand about the word eternal and everlasting. See, we don't, other than what the Lord tells us about our souls and how we've been created and the salvation that he gives for our souls and for that we might have life eternally, it's just really hard for us to really get that because we don't touch a thing. We don't have eternal anything. We don't have eternal good looks. We don't have eternal hair. We don't have eternal batteries. Cecil's battery may be going out. I don't know where the verdict's still up. We don't have eternal anything, naturally, do we? We don't have anything that we can take the word eternal and compare it to that we have in these natural lives. We're changing. None of us has ever lived in the same place ever. None of us has ever done the same thing. We don't have anything to compare it to. It's really hard for us to stretch to get it. And we do, when somebody is saved, we do get it from the Word of God, and we can. And that's the reason the Lord instructs us this way. The folks that pass on from this life and have passed on from this life, they do understand eternal, don't they? Whether they're there with our Lord or they're in hell burning in brimstone right now in darkness separated from God, they understand eternal. When Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, we're back here in Luke 18:22, "Yet lackest thou one thing." One thing. This man's not coming to test Jesus. This man doesn't have any ulterior motive to try to trip up the Lord. This man really wants to know. He's searching. I'm trying and I'm doing and I'm following everything that I have to know and do and follow, and yet I'm empty inside. I really don't have peace that I will inherit eternal life. And you know what? Once again, our Lord has compassion on him. He loves him. The Lord's not going to hide the truth from him, but he's going to tell him the very thing that he needs. One thing thou lackest, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. The lawyer was looking to stir things up and catch the Lord. He didn't come sincerely. He did get the answer, but he was tested himself about how he followed and claimed to follow the Lord. You reckon maybe that lawyer could have been that Levite that passed by that man in the ditch? It said there he looked to justify himself. I don't know who my neighbor is. Sell what you have, give it to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. What's the one thing that the man lacks? He lacks Jesus Christ. He lacks the Lord Jesus Christ. The God-man. The man. The Son of Man. The Savior. You lack him. You lack him and what he must do for you to have peace. You need him. You need the one that loves God. Does Jesus love God? He sure does. And indeed, did Jesus as a man love his neighbor? Well, we showed this morning he loved 10 lepers, didn't he? He healed them of their leprosy. And he saved one. It says here, and I wonder about this man, if he was ever saved. The Lord knows. I would guess if you forced me into the position, I would say that he was saved later on. But we don't know. The Scripture doesn't tell us. But when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. He had a lot to sell and a lot to give away and distribute to the poor. From the standpoint of his flesh, he had a lot to lose to go and follow the Lord. And when Jesus saw that, he was very sorrowful. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Exclamation point. "For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And I find this response of the disciples, "And they that heard it said, who then can be saved?" And we understand from other passages that it is the disciples that ask that. Remember, some of them are businessmen. One of them was a publican, not known to be poor. Well, then who can be saved? And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." You want faith to really believe the Lord and trust in him and believe his gospel for the salvation of your soul? You take that to the Lord. You want faith in the Lord to love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your being, to obey him and what he's commanded and what he's given, his gospel? You want faith to repent of your sins before God and have faith in Jesus Christ? You go to the Lord. It's impossible with you, but it's possible with God. It's possible with Jesus. He is the everlasting one, and he has everlasting life. We come over to John chapter 3, and everlasting, everlasting punishment, the Lord said there in Matthew chapter 25, and life eternal for those that are righteous in Christ. We come here to John chapter 3, and maybe it could help us to understand and see more about these two words. We see them here again, and yet, again, in the Greek, it's one word. In John chapter 3, verse number 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Love the Lord with all your being, and love what he says and the truth of it. Because if you don't, you will die. And our Lord says simply, look to him. Look and live. For God so loved the world. He loved his cosmos. He loved his creation. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who has been more compassionate than our Lord? Who has loved God more than our Savior? And granted, the Lord Jesus Christ is God, but remember how he talked about the love of the Father that he had? And how they are one? And that he could do nothing other than what the Father gave him to do? And indeed, has our Lord, as a man, indeed loved his neighbor? He brought to us not what we deserved, but he's brought to us what we need. And it cost him a great price, and it's taken some time, and the blessing of it, it is everlasting. Everlasting, everlasting life. We look here in the last verse of this chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, everlasting life, right now. Do you have the Son? Does he have you? Do you love the Lord? Do you love your neighbor as the Lord has loved? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son, see how it says that? Believeth not the Son? It doesn't say on or in there, does it? But doesn't believe what he says. So I've got my own way to worship. I've got my own way to follow the Lord. I've got my own way of salvation. You don't love the Lord, and you don't love a lick about what he says. But he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Because that way won't work. But the wrath of God abideth on him. And we saw what our Lord said about that. Everlasting life.